This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're going to be listening to Mozart's 12 variations on the tune A vous dirai-je, maman. Now, you might not know A vous dirai-je, maman, but I can guarantee you that you know the tune. Dun, 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 dun. Yep, twinkle, twinkle, little star, ba ba, black sheep, the alphabet song, the tune gets around. The French song is the first iteration that we know of. It was published in 1761. Mozart probably heard it when he was living in Paris as a young man. We're not entirely sure when he wrote these variations, but we do know that they come from a time that involved a lot of financial and professional uncertainty for the young composer. Mozart had moved to Paris to look for a job, which proved a lot more difficult than he had anticipated. The city was known, like it is now, as one of the most important centers for the arts, music, and culture, and would seem to be a great place for a young composer. He had been to Paris before when he was an 8-year-old child prodigy, and people fawned over him. He got to stay in Versailles and meet the Queen. His family left with a pretty decent chunk of money. But like a lot of child stars, Mozart was finding out that a cute 8-year-old whiz kid gets much more attention than a young man in his early 20s. And he had something else in common with the child stars we know today, a father seemingly hell-bent on getting him a job. Leopold Mozart was a musician himself, and from the time that his son could walk, he was training him to be a musical genius. He was the one who took Mozart and his sister on the tour of Europe, passing through London and Paris and various noble courts. He was the one who suggested Mozart go back to Paris as a young man to find a job. And reading some of their letters back and forth makes it clear that he was the one who was most concerned about Mozart getting a job at all. Mozart himself was less than enthusiastic about working under somebody. When he was in Paris, he had a few gigs here and there, but it was by and large an unsuccessful stay. And worse than all that, though, was the fact that his mother, who had traveled with him, was in very poor health. It deteriorated, and her death a few months into the stay left Mozart alone for the very first time. That was really the lowest point in his career. With the help of his father, he got a job back home, but within a couple years, he would head out again. This time, he settled in Vienna. And after a precarious few years, he would finally start getting some serious money and commissions flowing in. This is a great way to explore the concept of a theme and variations. Since pretty much everyone knows the tune used for the theme, it's easy to pick out all the different techniques used to make the variations. The third variation, for example, turns a melody into a cascade of triplets, while the eighth variation sets it all in a minor key. See if you can pick out all the different techniques that Mozart uses while still maintaining the structure of that initial tune. You might notice, too, that the variations get increasingly complex and difficult for the pianist to play. Like I said before, we're not entirely sure why Mozart wrote this or when, but one good theory is that it was an exercise for his piano students to be able to work through. With all the professional turmoil he was experiencing, teaching students was one way of getting a solid, steady income. This piece may well have helped him make more money than most of the things that he wrote. Here's Stefano Ligoretti with Mozart's 12 variations on A vous dirai-je, maman.
Thank you.
If someone were to ask me, well, what's the deal with this Mozart guy anyway? Why is he so celebrated? I think I'd show him this piece. I mean, he takes something so simple, something that's been done to death. You've probably heard it 1,000 times. And yet he makes something fresh and exciting out of it. Thanks to Stefano Ligoretti for putting that up on museopen.org. And thank you for listening to the podcast. If you have a chance, please rate and review it wherever you're getting it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, we're going to head to Hungary and listen to Franz Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2. See you then.